Seven decades of great music. Z103.com. Good morning to you. Episode number 36 of the Basics of Economic Development. Mark Wickersham, hello, sir.
Good morning.
I hope you survived your Thanksgiving holiday.
I'm about 6 pounds heavier than I was the last time I was in here.
Yes, and we could have talked about that last Friday, but some people are still celebrating over the weekend, so you got to get every meal chance
That's
out of the way.
Absolutely. It's We're blessed to be able to have multiple Thanksgiving feasts.
We sure
in
are.
In our society, in different households and different families and friends. And so it's just a wonderful time of the year.
I love it. I love it. What's going on today?
Well, today I want to do a little bit deeper dive into a topic we talked about on a show in May.
Okay.
About tax abatement. And the reason I want to do this, I was invited by the City of Huntington's Economic Development Commission recently to make a presentation on tax abatement as a process and system. And it was interesting for me to kind of play the role of a teacher in that environment and to work with a couple new members on the EDC, as it's called. It's a 5-member commission, and they work with the city of Huntington and the city council and the mayor to handle the discussions about property tax abatement requests and compliance. And in the process of that, there just were some things that I thought, you know what? Okay, in May, when we talked on the show about tax abatement, we did so from, again, the idea that this shows about the basics of economic development. So if we think about the May tax abatement program as tax abatement 101, today I want to do tax abatement 200.
All right.
So here are some thoughts from the presentation. And first of all, I want to begin by pointing out that tax abatement has three fundamental assumptions before you even have a discussion. Fundamental assumption number one is that someone in the community believes economic growth is desirable and a benefit to the community. That should be fairly obvious, but it is at the heart of the discussion. There, in fact, are places in the country and around the world that would prefer not to have any growth because they don't want anything that's changed. Or they want to be the only player that grows, sort of thing. So fundamental number one is that economic growth is desirable, and it's a benefit to the community. Economic development, fundamental number two is that successful employers, in a broad sense, are in fact community assets. Communities are stronger when we have successful employers. Once again, that's a fairly obvious given, I hope. And assumption number three that's a little less less awareness of is the idea that there are things called lost opportunity costs. Sometimes when you choose not to do something, that has a cost that's more expensive than choosing to do something. So those are three underlying themes that are assumptions that have to be in place for any discussion about tax abatement or economic development in general. In addition, it's important to remember that tax abatement is really not labeled correctly. We don't really know what else to call it, but the actual process is not abatement. It's phasing in the liability for the taxpayer. So you're phasing in the liability as the simultaneous process for the company doing depreciation takes place. So as a company is depreciating an asset, that's when the percentage phase in becomes higher. So they're paying more on a reduced value than they would right at the beginning if abatement or phase in is approved. The process in the state of Indiana for doing this sort of thing was first enacted in 1977. So we've been at this for about 50 years now. It's not an entitlement program. No one's entitled to receive a phase-in or an abatement. And when I say receive, you're not really receiving anything from the government other than a discount. your payment is less than it would have been otherwise. So there's not a transfer or budgetary outlay associated with this process. And these are to be used as incentives, not rewards. You do these, you make the approval as a community prior to an investment being made so that the company involved knows, in fact, if they can afford to do the project and move forward. Another interesting point about this process is that it does not impact existing tax liabilities for applicants. So it's only effective for considered for new investments in the community. And when I say in the community, there's another track that's important to remember. The investment that a company makes that they're asking for a reduced property tax liability has to occur inside a boundary limit that's called an economic revitalization area, or ERA. If the investment is outside of an ERA, it's not eligible for abatement unless an ERA is created. And that's another process that gets into tax abatement 300 and 400, which I don't want to do today because we don't have time. But in addition to applying for and being granted a phase-in on the tax liability, there's an annual compliance process for the company. So a company that's approved to benefit from a phased-in tax liability for whatever length of time, whether that's 5 years, 10 years, etc., they have on an annual basis a requirement to file a compliance form with the governmental entity that granted the abatement process approval. And so every year the taxpayers and the elected officials during that abatement, they get to look at the progress that the company's made. So that the initial form that's filed is called an SB1, Statement of Benefits Number 1. And it's either granted and applied for real property, meaning improvements to buildings, building them in the first place, or business personal property, which is the equipment that a company uses to operate. So there are two types of things that are taxed in the first place. Now, one of the things that we've just gone through the new election, and I think it's also relevant to our discussion this morning, with the new administration organizing to take effect in January, every year there's a discussion about whether or not to change the property tax laws in the first place. And it's interesting that those laws are established and monitored, amended or whatever, or eliminated by the state legislature. But the revenue streams that are affected at the municipal level are for the local units of government, not the state government. So the state government can pass a law that hurts local revenue streams or helps local revenue streams, depending on the circumstances. So every year that these sorts of debates come up, there are two fundamental schools of thought. School number one is, how much does this save an industry on their bottom line and in profitability? Versus school number two, which is, how much revenue, depending on the decision, is either gained or lost by the municipal unit of government? And sometimes, you know, the legislators or whoever, they end up taking one side or the other without kind of trying to figure out how, if there's a way to work both sides of that equation at the same time. And the public policy debate gets a little bit interesting, to say the least. And we learned during this past election cycle how interesting public debates and public policy can be as it comes to time to vote and that kind of thing. So it's a really interesting, detailed process, but at the end of the day, the fundamentals are the following. tax abatement only is relevant to new investments that are being made in a community. They're not an outlay of revenue to as an incentive reward or anything like that to a company. If a company's not making a new investment, abatement's irrelevant. And if abatement is approved for a new investment, it does not impact their existing investment. So, have I confused everybody on a full stomach, or are we okay?
I'm following you so far. Yeah. Because you get a lot of people that do say, well, tax abatement, they're just not going to have to pay any taxes. And that's not so, because don't they eventually have to pay back in some part or portion, if not all, of what was given to them in the abatement?
Well, that's a great point, and it was a discussion at the city's Economic Development Commission that I presented. I used the last SB1 that the city had approved on behalf of a company. I deleted the name of the company and that kind of thing to protect the identification of the company. But we have software that allows us to run spreadsheets on the fiscal impact of the abatement calculation. And so we'll talk about like a $3.5 million investment.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the company calling in wanting to know what's going on.
Oh, well, they might be. We'll just put them on hold for right now.
So in this case, the company was, if they're making about a $3.5 million investment, what's the fiscal impact for the taxpayers? What's the fiscal impact for the company? So I have software that can measure all of that. And so what I ended up doing, instead of talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars one way or the other, I took all the zeros, all the commas, took it down to the lowest common denominator, and then the tax abatement schedules allow a community to say, okay, we're going to abate this for 5 years, and instead of it, we can deduct a particular percentage each year, and you can adjust that and model it so you can see the impact, and you can work with that type of question up to a full 10-year abatement schedule. Well, by taking all of the commas and all of the zeros off the equation, I had four basic sets of numbers, and I brought cash. I went to the bank and got some cash out of our account at home so that I had, like on model one, if there was no abatement of any kind whatsoever, if the city said, no, we're not going to do it, then the taxpayer over a 10-year period of time owed $37.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I calculated and I had $37 and I put it on the table. I said, okay, if you do nothing at all, that's the maximum payment. If you do a 10-year abatement and reduce the discount by 10% per year over the 10-year period, the impact over 10 years, instead of it being $37, it's $19.
Mm-hmm.
You're still getting $19 of new revenue that you did not have before as a community if you approve the abatement. It goes from $37 full freight to $19. And then I did the other two on five-year schedules, the other two examples. And again, I'm bringing cash. So I've got a pile that's $37. I've got a pile that's $19. And then the other two, one was $14 and one was $13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the bottom line question is, if the company doesn't make the investment at all, then all of that cash that I just laid on the table, it's irrelevant. Nobody gets anything. If the community decides it's not going to approve the abatement, there's $37. However, what if the company says, I really cannot afford that $37? Well, by doing an abatement, you can get either $19 or $14 or $13. You're still going to get some new money. The question is, what if the budget of the city or the county or whatever entity you're talking about, what if the budget's already spending $52 and that $37 isn't enough to cover the expense side for the municipality? That's where the rubber meets the road often, because some governments are already spending beyond the ability to collect growth revenue taxes and pay off their bills. So if spending's under control, then this works like Priceline.com. I've got a fixed asset, and I'm going to get a little something off of it, or I'm going to get nothing off of it, which is preferable. And normally the preference is, well, I'll take what I can get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm telling a company, instead of your 37, I'll do 14, the company's going to be happy, the community's going to get a new $14 revenue stream, and everybody wins. And then next year, you get to evaluate as a community whether or not the company delivered on what they said they were going to do. And if they didn't, then you revoke the approval, and then they have to pay the full freight again. So it's a good system with checks and balances, and it's not that the company has to, in essence, refund the benefit, but they simply start paying taxes at a different level in the process and save some liability.
Meantime, the benefit of the abatement to the community is you've got a company bringing in jobs, bringing in extra income for the community in other ways.
Absolutely. You also, in the most elementary way, you have a company saying, I'm willing, would you allow me to pay you a little bit more in taxes? Maybe not the full amount, but I'm willing to pay more in taxes.
Uh-huh.
That should be a good signal that someone's willing to invest in our community. They're willing to pay additional taxes to be here and be profitable. And that should benefit everyone, especially if we're keeping an eye on the expense side of the ledger.
Awesome. I like it. Very well put together. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. And we'll be back next week.
All right. In the meantime, we're going to get into the music right here on the Z.